Well, I've been sharing on the attributes of God. And if you really want to be humble, just start talking about God. And you just realize how little you know. You know what I mean? How little you know. I mean, and you go to approach the love of God. I mean, you know, oh my goodness, you know. Who can fathom that? Well, as if that wasn't enough, today I felt the Lord moving on my heart, actually through this week, to speak on the holiness of God. The holiness of God. And when you think of the scene in heaven that's found in Revelations, you have the seraphim and the cherubim before the throne of grace. And what are they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I mean, they don't say love, 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 Lord God. You know, they don't say goodness, goodness, goodness. They say holy, holy, holy. And in heaven, as well as in the Hebrew culture, whenever you say something more than once, it's double honor, it's triple honor, it's emphasizing something to the greatest, highest possible degree. For us in English, we'd say holy, 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 holy. All right. Years ago, when I was down in a Baptist church on a Wednesday night, down in Dallas, Texas. We were there for some training. We were starting a Christian school, and so we were under this training of this very holy group of people who were trying to train us to teach children, take them into their inheritance. And the Wednesday night service was kind of quiet, to say the least. And there were a bunch of us pastors there, and, you know, they sang a hymn or two, and it just kind of got really sort of sleepy until they asked if any of us had anything to share. And the black preacher got up. And he just got up there, and he says, "The Lord is in his temple, and he is holy." I said, "The Lord is in his temple, and he is holy." He went on for about 15, 20, 30 minutes. About the 20th minute or so, we were shouting. We were stomping. I mean, there was an anointing that came down as if the cherubim, the seraphim stopped what they were doing and said, "What's that down there? It's going on. They're taking our job. They're taking our thunder." Hallelujah. And it just got such the Spirit of God just came in, and there was a celebration. I have been in meetings where we have experienced the holiness of God where we could not stand. We were all on our faces. And it was like, "Be still and know that I am God." And then I was in this meeting, and it was like a celebration. It was like an exaltation. I could just see the angels coming down in a great ceremony of procession and flags and dancers and everything else. And what do you think of when you think of holiness? What comes to mind? Do you think of a hair in a bun, or a hair covering, or no playing cards, no going to movies? Do you think of legalistic things like do's and don'ts? Does it make you squirm a little bit in your seat? It's going to be like one of those type of white knuckle experiences where, hell and brimstone, here we come. In the Old Testament, there were some pretty serious encounters, weren't there, when people messed with the holiness of God. There was the sons of Moses, for instance. They offered an offering that wasn't acceptable before God, and they were smoked right there. Fire came down and just just burned them right up. It was so serious that the priest, the high priest, when he went in just once a year to the presence of God, they had to put a rope around him in case he got smoked. They dragged what's left out. And that probably happened a couple times. There was this king, Uzziah, in the time of Isaiah. This was the king that was reigning at the time. He decided he was going to go in and offer an offering in the holy place. And he got only into the holy place before he was struck with leprosy. And he had to be pushed out. He died a leper. David, though, he was an interesting guy. He'd go into the presence of God, take the showbread, have a party, and he'd just go on, such that he decided, I'm going to make a place for God. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to a portion of Scripture, which I think is perhaps one of the most awesome and powerful teachings of what holiness is. And it's right in the book of Exodus, the book of beginnings. It's in Exodus 15:11. If I have my amazing projectionist up there. Yes. I don't see. Oh, yes. It's amazing. It's like the Holy Ghost. I don't see any head or anything up there. It's just like, you know, they're just, oh, they just appear. They appear. Is that Matthew? Is that Matthew? All right. Oh, you're good, Matthew. All right. Okay. Now, that's wonderful. I guess I gave you the wrong. Well, that is a good scripture, but that's not what I wanted. I gave you the wrong address. Let's go to Exodus 3:5. Back up a little bit. Moses has been wandering in the wilderness with some sheep after hightailing it from Egypt, where he was learning to be a super Egyptian. Something was beating in his heart. There was something more. Got him into trouble when he killed an Egyptian and trying to save his own people. And so he had to hightail it out. So he spent 40 years in the wilderness, you know, talking to sheep. Then one day, he turns aside because he sees a bush that's fiery, full of fire, and yet is not consumed. We'll come back to that in a minute. So Moses approach, and lo and behold, it's a talking bush. Not only is it a fiery bush, but it's a talking bush. What does it say? The voice that comes out of the bush says, take off your shoes, for the place wherein you stand is holy ground. There's something very significant about this. And we really need to get this. Okay, if you don't get anything else, get this. Wherever God shows up, wherever his presence is, that place, that person, that thing becomes holy. It was not holy before. Any old bush will do. Any old clump of dirt will do. But as soon as the Lord shows up, that bush, that piece of real estate becomes holy. You can go home now. That was worth the price of admission. That was worth the double offering. That's good preaching. That's good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. That changed my life. I got it. I want to talk to you about holiness without hassles. We go to talk about holiness. People get uptight because usually it goes into a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. You know, don't do this, don't do this. Be sure you do this and don't. And it is that. But it's not about you doing it on your own strength and in your own power. I want to talk to you about what holiness is, and it's going to surprise you. First of all, it means to set apart from all else. It means different. It means distinct. It means unique. It means absolute and moral purity and the complete absence from evil. It means infinite in greatness and majesty. God's holiness is so other, it's so completely different than the human condition. Here we go. It is incomprehensible. It is unapproachable. And it is completely unattainable. Now you can go home. As far as you're concerned, the holiness of God is totally unattainable. You can't do anything to make yourself holy before the holiness of God. It is like your drop of water vapor compared to the oceans that would fill the planets of the solar system and all the galaxies combined. I mean, we're talking of something that's infinite and keeps going and is expanding like the universe. All right. It's incomprehensible. It's unapproachable. And it's unattainable. But God, when He shows up and stands in the midst of us, all of a sudden, we're holy. This place is holy. And like when Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transformed before His disciples, so that holiness is transforming you. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You are not going to be the same when you leave this place than when you came. Because you see, whether you liked it or not, God showed up. And whether you received it or not, God filled this place and is still filling this place. I sense the anointing. I sense the presence of God. This is holy ground. I could just as well take my shoes off and stand on holy ground. Because God wants us to understand that wherever His presence is, it's holy. It's holy. So, I want you to look at holiness in a different way. Through the eyes of those who really knew God. And David was a man after God's own heart, who definitely had a need for God's holiness, wouldn't you say? He definitely was a saint that was needing repair. And so he developed this love relationship with God. And I want to read you several of the Psalms that were written by him. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, I'll just read these. You just listen. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I want you to understand that the Lord is not only holy, but He's beautiful in holiness. He's attractive. He's not unapproachable. He's not going to fry you up and burn you up and take you away. He's not come to take away your life. He's come to give you life. 2 Chronicles 20:21. When they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. This is Solomon. That they should praise, Jehoshaphat, that they should praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And in the midst of that, they won a tremendous victory. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now listen to this. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. That's multiplication and joy. Lebanon and Siron like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. That's reproduction. And discovereth the forest. And it goes on. He sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sits upon the flood. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard, and he's sitting upon the flood. And it's all about worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord breaks forth, and there's a transformation that takes place. And we become transfigured in his glory. Because wherever the presence of the Lord is, whatever it touches becomes holy. That's why we take the time we do to minister first to the Lord. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name, such that the voice of the Lord might break forth and we will hear from heaven. And it causes even the proud cedars of Lebanon to break. And before there is resurrection, there's always death. And something sometimes has to die, and it might be pride, it might be our own stubbornness, or whatever it is that is hindering the love of God from flowing to us. And up against the anointing, it's broken. Because the presence of the God that's in our midst is mighty and mighty to save. Psalm 69:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple. I count three things. But it was one heart desire. And the heart's desire was to behold the beauty of the Lord and to hear his voice as you talk to him and hear him respond. That's how we are changed from glory to glory. That's how holiness was meant to work. If you try to be the Holy Spirit, you're going to be very frustrated. If you go to try to talk to somebody who's having difficulty and they're not wanting to receive from you, worst thing you can do is try to push your agenda upon them. Let the Holy Spirit break through upon them. And the best thing you can do when you're working through something is just simply to get into the presence of God. Pour out your heart before him. Worship the Lord in his beautifulness. Now, the word beauty here means agreeableness, delightfulness, suitableness, splendor of grace. We had put a scripture up earlier. You can put that back up again. I'll give you the address here. Exodus 15:11. This was right after the Lord opened up the Red Sea. Moses just exploded in this rhapsody unto the Lord. He says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Another word for glorious here is majestic. I don't know about you, but whenever I get a chance to go to see the Alps the Rockies or any of these majestic mountain ranges, I'm going to make every effort to see as much as I can. To me, it's a sensory overload. And all I can do is just stand in awe at the majesty of the panorama that's before me. I mean, there's just nothing like starting at maybe 3,000 feet And then going up to, 15 to 20,000 feet. And as you go, the panorama just changes. And, on one hand, there's snow, and then, wild azaleas on the other, and you're just walking up this bank of grass, and you open up to the sound of music. The hills are alive with the sound. It's just like, and you just, it's majestic. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord is beautiful, and He's majestic in His holiness. And I want you to think of holiness as that which is beautiful and pleasant and agreeable, because that holiness is a person. It's the Father, it's the Son, revealed through the Holy Spirit. And God is a self-revealing God. He reveals Himself through His Word, through His people, and through His Spirit. I'm sure there's other ways, but I just wanted to concentrate on those for a few minutes. And Jesus said this in John 14:21. He said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me." Now, how many of you realize, I'll just go on here. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. He's saying, if you would just love me, I will manifest myself to you. And the thing about it is that I'm going to give you commandments that are unattainable in your own strength. But if you keep them in the power of my strength, because whenever I give you a commandment, I also give you the enablement. If God says, I want you to be pure until you're married, there's a corresponding grace. There's a pleasure of God that is greater than the temptation to short circuit the purposes of God. If you will embrace it. And it's not in keeping a bunch of commandments. You've got to fill that with something. And the Lord says, I am enough. We heard that prophetically today. I am enough. Lord, you are enough, we heard. And that was birthed by the Spirit of God saying to us, He's enough. He is enough. He also reveals Himself through His people. In Hebrews 12 and 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, with which no man shall see the Lord. Saying, get along, little doggies. Get along. Get along. With those out there and those in here. Pursue it. But I can't. I know you can't. But you come to me, you that are laboring and tired of playing God and trying to take it in your own strength, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And wherever I show up, you will be holy. You'll think holy thoughts. You'll be changed from the inside and out. And all that you had towards whoever will melt away in my love. And you'll be transferred. You'll be changed. I am not the same person I was a year ago. I'm certainly not the same person I was 20 years ago. And everybody said, thank God. Yes. How many of you realize I'm not there yet? I'm preaching way beyond myself today, but I'm just thankful that a holy God is here, and He declares me holy, which means that He sees me already perfect. And we need to do that with one another. We need to see people in the finished work of God, because God sees us already perfected in Him, and He wants us to see that with us. So He says, follow peace with all men. Now, I understand that it's a Super Bowl season, and it really wouldn't be appropriate not to have a football metaphor in a message such as this. So, here goes. For those of you who weren't here earlier, you got to see Laura's hair. She's getting ready for the party, all right? It's like a football game. Jesus is the quarterback. We're the wide receiver. He's got that football in his hand, which represents his vision and his purpose for our life. So he makes a wide throw. We get it. As soon as we get that ball, all of a sudden we become very exposed, or what would you say? All of a sudden we become very attractive to the opposing team. They want to take us down. So what do our brothers do on the team? Which, by the way, we're all wearing the same colors. And it's not red. Okay. The red or the devil's? No, okay. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, so they're coming at us. I expect my teammates to block for me because we're all after one objective, and that's to get that ball, get that vision down to the completed end zone for that final touchdown. So my brothers and sisters are blocking for me. And they're doing that because they've been in the presence of the quarterback. And they've so taken up with his passion for winning the game that they'll do anything, even risk bodily harm, to block for their brother and sister. Knowing that you may be next. Because you might be going up to block for that guy and back passes, or was that lateral pass or something? You know, you realize, and you give it back to somebody else behind you. What's that called? Yeah, we've got a great team here. Okay. Anyhow, what's that? What's that? What is it? A lateral. I was right. Okay. A lateral pass. Okay. And so now, all of a sudden, you're blocking for your brother. And it's all about us going to battle for one another. You folks sent us something from Rick Joyner about unity. It was really good. You know what he was saying about unity among the other churches or the church? Two things that unified the church in the wilderness was unity in warfare and unity in worship. When we get together and we stand in holy ground together, what unifies us? Our unity in warfare. We will block for one another because we want everyone to bring that ball, to bring that vision to completion. We're all on the same team. We're all wearing the same jersey. We're all about putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, you know, and going out and getting the job done against an enemy that certainly will oppose us. And knowing that we stand in unity of warfare, our success is dependent on how we enter into and connect in the worship experience. So that's what unifies us. We're all so different. And that's okay. Unity is not sameness. It's actually uniqueness. In the presence of God and in our worship, we all come together and share a common experience and our desire to block for one another so that the whole team comes into their inheritance is brought about by the presence of the Lord. So, there you have it. This is all brought about by a spirit. And one of my favorite scriptures, and it's 1 Corinthians 3:16. Oh, no. I'm going to go there. So many. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. With open face. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They tried to lie to God, and they lost their life. I encourage you that God is holy, and it means He knows everything in absolute moral purity. You can't pull the wool over His eyes, so to speak. So come before Him with openness and transparency. Let it out before Him. Let Him know what you're going through. Pour out your heart before Him and be honest with Him. And it says, as we behold Him, and because, well, it's like looking at the sun. If you look at the sun, you're going to burn your eyes, don't you? So you have to take some smoke glass and look at the sun through the filter, or else it'll burn you up. It's the same thing with the Lord. We can't see Him as He really is, because this holiness is, it fry you. You know what I mean? And but God breaks off just enough so we can handle it. And it says, with that open face, with that openness, we behold the Lord. We're changed. We're changed by His word, and we're changed by our time in His presence. What was a real turning point in the lives of our family was when we decided to just take a couple hours each day and just soak in the presence of God, just rest in His presence. Just let Him change us. Let Him come into the room. And as a result of that, I've just been changed. It's been many years now. I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5. How many years? 5 years that we decided to do this. And we look forward to it every day. I mean, we just don't miss a day. And, you know, we just go and lock ourselves up with God and just rest in His presence. Sometimes don't say anything at all. But He just does a work from the inside out on the basis of His promise. Wherever He shows up, it's holy ground. And where He is, things change. Now, He doesn't change, because He's the Lord and He changes not. So guess who's going to change? And it's wonderful because it's so unassuming. You don't know until you get up and later on look back and say, whoa, I'm not the same anymore. And it's so much easier and better than trying to do it in your own strength. There's something about the presence of God that I don't understand. Imagine that. I mean, I also don't know how a brown cow can eat green grass and give us white milk. I mean, you know, Dave Moore knows, but I don't understand this stuff. I don't understand photosynthesis, a lot of things. I don't understand how the presence of God works. But I can tell you something. When Moses stood before that bush and it started talking to him, he was not the same anymore. He was changed by that encounter. When Isaiah stood before the Lord and he said, whoa, I'm undone, a man of unclean lips. Isaiah, the mighty prophet, probably the greatest of the Old Testament prophets other than Moses himself. He says, whoa, I'm undone. And the Lord takes a coal and touches his lips and says, now you're clean. Now, who shall I send? And you say, Lord, send me. Yeah. There's a transformation that happens in the presence of the holy God that makes you holy. We reflect the holiness of God. We don't produce it. We carry it. We reflect and we leak. And we need to go back. Because if we don't, we'll be like one of those phosphorus frisbees that glow in the dark for a little while. And then if they don't get another stint in the light, they will finally no longer glow. Can't see my watch in the dark anymore. What do? Put it in the light. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing. If you want to be transformed, recognize that the Lord is beautiful. He's attractive. He's not to be feared in the sense of like that we would cringe. But rather, he's beautiful. And so we run into his presence. And Scripture gives us full authority to do so. It says, Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's where the presence of God is. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Sure, you messed up. Sure, you dropped the ball. We know you come short of the glory of God. But Jesus prayed in the garden. He says, you know, Father, the glory you've given me, I'm going to give to them. It's a new covenant. It's a new day. It's a new hour. We don't run from the presence of God, the holiness and fear anymore. We run to it. We embrace it. Because it's the God-appointed way for us to be transformed. And it's best from the inside out. Lastly, a little bit of doctrine here. Three kinds of holiness. There's the legal judicial pronouncement over us when we invite Jesus into our heart. When you invite Jesus personally into your heart, when you make him real to you, when he's no longer just an idea or something that you hear about as a historical figure, but when you make him personal and you invite him into your heart, the Bible says you are justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. You are just as holy and righteous or in righteous standing as the Son Jesus Christ. Because that's what Jesus did. He took your sin and he gave you his holiness. It's awesome. Justified. Scripture, thank you very much, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how much that was a struggle for me in my early days. Walking in peace. I was always battling the devil. I was always battling something. People. Things. Objects. Both real and perceived. And it was an up and down struggle. I have good days, bad days. We started resting in the Lord in the midst of all that was going on at the time. We started doing that. We had been doing this before, but we just needed to up the ante because it's like we needed more glory. We needed more transformation. We were just not walking in what the kingdom of God was supposed to be all about. It says it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And we had that, but it would go. How many of you realize the holiness of God is complete wholeness? He never has a bad day. Never has an evil thought. I mean, you just got to think about this for a minute. He's just always glad. He's self-contained. And he says, be ye holy, even as I'm holy. So I'm saying, maybe this is attainable in my lifetime. How am I going to get there? How is this going to happen? Maybe if I read the Bible 16 hours a day and pray real hard and break some glass and crawl through it. This is whatever. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. And it really gets down to nothing you can do. In fact, it's sort of like when God wanted to get his covenant ratified, he put Adam to sleep. When he wanted to get it done with Abraham, he put him to sleep so they wouldn't mess with it. You even have the ability to mess with stuff. So I found the simplest way to become transformed is just simply be quiet, be still, and know that he's God. And let him just wash over me as I just come into his presence. However you do that is personal. Everybody goes in a different way. But the Bible says you enter with the framework of thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and then you go deeper to the point where you can't say anything anymore. Then you're in the deep presence of God, where you're thinking his thoughts, and he's just washing over you. And you're being transformed. You're being changed. So first of all, we're justified. Then we're sanctified. And that's the process we're working out right now. I'm working this out. You're working this out. I'm pressing in to a continuous, folks, not a ripple in the pond. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't come out of the presence of God. I take it with me. It's there all day long. Things come, things go. They don't affect me. I sort of agree with Francis Frangipane, who says, I'm getting past 50 and I don't have the energy to go into error. I don't have the energy to go into things that just don't matter. And in the presence of the Lord, we're transformed. And he renews our youth like the eagle, and we come out in his peace and his righteousness, and it's like what he is enjoying right now, we can enjoy here on earth. And it's like heaven on earth. I'm here to say we're breaking through into that. We're breaking through into that. And what happens is this is the head being released from the head, and it's going down to the whole body. This is why we spend so much time in the presence of God. This is why we make it our objective to touch God each and every time we gather and throughout the week. I want to encourage you, if you're just worshiping the Lord, when you come up on Sunday morning, I think you need to maybe pick it up a little bit. But anyhow, the sanctification process is practical holiness. And there's a scripture here in Acts 26 and 18. We're almost done. It says, to open their eyes, this is the Lord speaking, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay. Sanctifying is the process of being changed. Okay, God judicially says we are changed. We are completely holy. He says that judicially over us. But then there's the practical aspect of working it out. And that's what we're doing now. But there's going to come a day when we're going to be glorified. That's the last one. When he shows up, when he comes again, it's going to happen in an instant. And it's Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. And it's in the past tense. You are already glorified in the presence of God. He already sees you finished. And one day we will realize that personally in our own experience. But we can get just as close as we want. You can have just as much of God as you want and much of heaven as you want. But you got to do something. And that is you got to draw near. And he'll do the rest. And then this thing about do's and don'ts and what you shouldn't be doing, it'll all just come very clear. pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, that I might just see him and behold him in his beauty. It'll change you. That's what David found out. He says, my whole life's ministry and purpose is to just sit and gaze on the beauty of God. Some folks out in Kansas City are doing that on a regular basis. And it's just capturing the heart of the youth in this country. And it's just based on this whole principle of being transformed from within. And they're going out and changing the world. You don't have to go to Kansas City, folks. You can do it right in the comfort of your own home. So I just want to encourage you that holiness is something that is beautiful and it's glorious, and he will share his glory with whomever will draw near and receive of it. So, Father, I just ask right now that you just bless each and every one here. That you just strengthen them with your love. Let them know that, Lord, you're standing here on holy ground. And that, Lord, we are being changed even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Every time we come here, every time we gather, every time we press into you in our private time, we're being changed. And we thank you for that. Every time we open up your word, we're being changed. Every time we get together with your people, we're being transformed. We thank you, Father, for these that you've placed before us. We thank you, Lord, that you're transforming us for an eternal inheritance. Father, I pray that everyone will stand in the fullness of their inheritance before you on that great and glorious day when we stand glorified and transformed in your presence. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen.